says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise for your holy word this morning. And now, Father, we ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew this morning. Help me to be a blessing to your people, that our eyes may be open to see your truths, that we would never be ashamed to spread your fame, to tell of the wondrous works that you have done, to tell of the life-giving word that you have. Now, Father, we come before you and ask you to move through your preaching. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So we've been going through the book of Mark, and we have seen so far that Jesus the way was prepared by John the Baptist, that Jesus then was baptized. Immediately after his baptism, he was taken into the wilderness and was tempted. He went through that. He then began to call his disciples to him, and they responded. And now we are at the point where we see that he's gone out of Galilee, and the text tells us that he has entered into Capernaum. I feel very, very loud and echoey up here this morning. Just saying. It says then that he entered Capernaum, where he began to immediately teach in their synagogue. And as we go through the text today and we see the things that took place in the synagogue at Capernaum, the wonderful, the miraculous, the powerful, the authoritative, you can see at the very last verse, and this is where I get my title for the message today, the very last verse declares that immediately his fame spread abroad. Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout the region. Now, why is that? Because as we see in the text, and as we would continue to see past this text today, that those who encountered Christ immediately realized there was something different about this man. There was something different about this person. There was something different about this teacher. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I know, having hindsight, we know what was different. This wasn't just a man, but this was the very Son of God, the Messiah, who has come to free his people. If that's not God, I hope you don't answer it. And so I want to look at the text today and show you three things as to why I believe Mark came to the conclusion in verse 28 that his fame spread throughout all the region. First, I want to show you that they were astonished with his words. They were astonished with his words. Look with me beginning at verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue. Can I take a break here real quick? A little sidetrack and just show you, even Jesus understood the importance of worshiping on the Sabbath day. Even Jesus, the very Son of God, understood that when the day came and the doors opened for him to worship, he was to be in the presence of the assembly to praise God and to hear the words. Even he knew. If there was somebody that didn't need to be in church, it was the Son of God, but even the Son of God knew he needed to be amongst the people. It says he went into the synagogue and he saw the opportunity because of how they conducted the worship service, and he taught. Jesus saw the necessity of worship, and when he got up there to teach, look at what it says about his teaching. It says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. Now, why were they astonished at his doctrine? Because as we found out a couple verses prior, that he preached the kingdom of God. He had preached that the kingdom of God was coming in, that the kingdom of God was beginning to manifest. And can I tell you, he preached differently from the scribes. Why? Because he's preaching it from this new message out of the lens of the Old Testament. He's showing them things that maybe they didn't see before. He's revealing them things that they had not known or even discovered before. That's why it's different from the scribes. He was preaching as one that had authority, one who knew what he was talking about, one who was the Word of God incarnate. He was revealing things to them that they had never seen, giving them a message that they had never heard. And they started to see very quickly, this isn't just another teacher. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that you will hear from many people within the world today is that Jesus was not anything special. We have many religions, we have many messiahs, and that Jesus was just another teacher. Can I tell you, he was not just another teacher. He was the Word of God incarnate. He was the Son of God. And he spoke like it. And his words that came forward were words of life. Can I ask you this morning? How many of you guys today are glad for the words of God? I'm not just talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the words of God. How many of you guys, Stephen, today, I don't care how many years maybe that you've been saved, but every single time you crack open this book, you are astonished by the words that you find, the authoritative word, the life-giving word, the life-changing word, praise God, the pure word, praise God, his eternal word that will never, ever fade away. Yes, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the Word of God, the scripture says, will stand forever. You should still be astonished at his words. And can I tell you why you should still be astonished? Because they're authoritative. They're authoritative. They are full of truth, absolute truth. They are the foundation for all matters of life and faith. You can stand upon them. You can take them to the bank. You can follow them. You can let them be your guide. I hope today that you're still astonished by his words. There's an old song that says, sing them over again with me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. They offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is those words that when you heard them proclaimed, whether it be through the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ or whether it be from some preacher at some point or some friend, it was those words that made you realize and understand that you were a sinner. It was those words that made you realize and understand that you could not obtain righteousness on your own. It was those words, though, that also revealed to you how you could be saved. Not just how, but who could save you. It was those wonderful words that showed you the amazing grace of God that took you from a wretch unto a child of the King. It's those words and the message of the King that should still astonish you and be authoritative in your life today. They're words of a King. I hope his words still astonish you. His words, let me tell you, his words, his fame has spread because of his word. Can I tell you that generation after generation after generation tries to get rid of his words, and they just can't seem to do it. They try to get rid of this book, and they just can't seem to do it. In fact, every single philosopher that has risen up and tried to bury and try to kill the word of God, they are the ones that have passed away, but it's God's word that still remains. It's his words. It's his words. His fame spreads because of the astonishment of his words. But ladies and gentlemen, let me show you what happens when his words and his authoritative words start coming forth. Because not only did his fame spread abroad because of the astonishment of his words, but his fame spread abroad because of the amazements of his work. The amazement of his works. Look with me at verse 23. It says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?'" Did you catch the first part of that? Because I want you to hear it. The setting in the text has not changed. The setting in the text has not changed. They are still in the house of God, and yet it says that there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people in the church today that have unclean spirits, whether it be in them or whether it be on them. Don't think for a moment that everybody that congregates in the house of the Lord is saved. Come on now. Scripture even tells us later on, right? There are wolves in sheep clothing. The devil's best hiding place is within the house of God, because he masquerades as an angel of light. But notice, when an authoritative word comes forth, it causes the man with an unclean spirit to get restless. So I pointed out to you the location of what's going on with this work. Let me show you also the language that's going on with this work, because this is significant as well, especially for our modern day. Notice, the unclean spirit cries out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us?" Do you notice the pronouns that are being used? From one spirit on one person. We. Us. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Listen to me. The movement that is afoot in our culture today, the trans movement that is afoot in our culture today, that has gained acceptance and has gained traction, listen to me, has a demonic backing to it. Demonic. I'm not saying those people are demonic. I'm saying the movement is demonic. And what you find here, and what you will find anywhere that demons are addressed in Scripture, they use the same kind of types of pronouns and identification. We, them, us. We are legion. We are many. You don't believe me yet? What happens later on in this text? What happens for the guy that we'll find later on in Mark chapter 5? They mutilate themselves. They mutilate the people that carry them. They mutilate the people that are on them. And not only that, but they do the very thing that God says that you better have a millstone throw around your neck and into the sea. They go after children. Be very wary, church. It's a demonic movement. It's a demonic movement. Scripture shows us this. Be very wary of it. Look at the language that is being used. Look at the request that is made. Look at what he says. He says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't it interesting? You notice this all the time, folks. Jesus comes in, right? Or the gospel comes out, or the Christian faith is pronounced, and those that are opposed to the Christian faith, what do? They immediately try to tell you, shut up. Leave us alone! Why are you bothering us? In fact, you'll probably hear it this way. Up, judgment. Scripture says you're not supposed to judge. They'll say, leave us alone. Isn't it interesting? Any other religion, any other false teaching, any other doctrines that are in this world that are not the Christian faith, when they're brought up and they're brought before them, the world embraces them. But when the truth of God comes forward and the authoritative word comes for us, leave us alone. Leave us alone. They try to get you away from it. Ladies and gentlemen, be weary of any time in your life where you despise to be in the presence of the Word of God. Be weary of any time in your life where you despise to be in a setting of worship in your life, because there's a spirit that is working on you to get you away, and you have this idea of, get away, leave me alone. Be weary. And look at the recognition. This is interesting as well. The recognition of the individual. It says, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee and who thou art, the Holy One of God. Do you see what he just pronounced? There's two things that a demon just pronounced about Jesus that we have people in this world that won't pronounce. Or say that they don't believe. Number one, the demon knows judgment's coming. The demon knows they're eventually going to be destroyed. Jesus obviously said, not right now. Now's not the time. But even the demon knows judgment is coming. The day of judgment will take place. We have people in our world today, and even Christians in the church today, who don't believe that God will judge this world and judge us. But yet demons believe it. Demons know it. Not only that, but look at what he says. It says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The demon knows who Jesus is. The demon knows he's the Son of God. The demon knows he's the Messiah. The demon know where he comes from. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in these two questions, you have something that a demon professes that many in the world today will not profess. Or, here's the scary part, they profess the second one, but it doesn't mean they're saved. Was the demon saved? Ooh. What does James say? Go farther back in your New Testament, and James says what? He says, even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. He says, basically, you believe in God? Good. Even the demons do. There's something greater than belief that you have to have. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe it to the point of a mental assent, or is it a heart communication where it changes your life and you become his disciple and you follow him? That's what's lacking from the demon. But why do you believe, Scripture says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God? Even the demons believe it. Even the demons know there's judgment coming. Even the demons know that Jesus was who he declared him to be. And notice, in the midst of all of this, Jesus in the synagogue, look with me at verse 25. Look at this work that he does. It says, and Jesus rebuked him. He rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace. In other words, shut your mouth. You have no reason to talk. Hold thy peace and come out of him. And just by the authoritative word of Jesus, that razzled the demon into action because he couldn't stand to be in the presence of truth. By the way, many times when you speak the words of Christ or speak the gospel to a group of people who are under the influence or even possessed by a clean spirit, what's the response? They yell, they scream, they kick, they tell you to get away, they run you out. But now an authoritative word just by him speaking, what's it say? And the demon came out. The demon came out. The man was saved. Now, it wasn't pretty because, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're delivered from something, it ain't going to be pretty. What's it say? Basically, the man convulsed, right? When the unclean spirit had torn him, he convulsed. He cried with a loud voice. It was a hurt process. He came out of him. You may be saying, wow, that demon possession. By the way, let me just clarify something because I hear a lot of this in the church too. Demon possession and spiritual warfare still exist today. I've heard many people, oh, well, that was just in Bible time. No! Trust me, it still happens today. More than what you would like to think, or more than what you would like to approve of, or more than what you would like to even admit. It's there. And it says the demon came out, the demon went away. Can I tell you what I love about this passage and what is amazing? Jesus Christ, listen to me, get this if you didn't get anything else. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw a demon inside of the man. He addressed the demon, not the man. He cast out the demon, but he didn't cast out the man. He's still there. We don't have any description as to what the man did after that took place, but we do know that he was delivered. He wasn't destroyed. Praise the Lord for it. You ever wonder why was the man who was possessed by a demon in church? You ever wonder? We don't know. Why didn't anybody ever identify it? Because they blend in. But was there something in the man that realized there was something wrong and he knew Jesus was going to be at that synagogue that day and he went because he knew if I can just be in his presence. We see those examples throughout the rest of the gospel. We don't know, but praise the Lord, we see the amazing work that God did there. I asked you earlier, aren't you glad for his astonishing words? But can I get a hand raising of testimony this morning that aren't you glad for his amazing works? Only one or two of you, that's all right. You know, you can raise both hands, you can raise a foot, I don't care. But I hope that you're glad for his amazing works, because if you're here today and you're saved, you are one of those amazing works. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, if you may point at the text and say, but Pastor, I wasn't delivered from a demon. No, but you were delivered from sin, death, and hell. It says that you were dead in your sin, and Christ came alongside you. You heard his astonishing words, and he met you with an amazing work. And praise God, he took something that was nothing and made it something, not because of your works, but because of his redeeming grace and the blood that covers you still today. Come on now, it's an amazing work. In fact, I believe there are songs that were written about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you hear that? You were a wretch. Amen? That's an amazing work from you to go from a wretch unto now being a child of the King. For you being lost to now you being found, because he says, I once was blind. Amen. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see God. You couldn't see his blessings. You couldn't see his presence. But now I see the glory. I see the King high and lift it up. Praise God. I once was blind, but now I see. Come on. Give him praise in his house this morning. because he's given you amazing grace. He's given you amazing mercy. He's given you amazing salvation. He's given you amazing healing. He's given you amazing love that you experience time and time and time and time again. And if you're here this morning, I want you to know this. There is nothing in your life right now that may be weighing you down, that may be oppressing you. I don't care what demon may be on you, what demon may be messing with you. There ain't nothing going on that he cannot do an amazing work to deliver you, to rescue you, and to redeem you in the name of Jesus. It's amazing when you see a changed life. It's amazing when you see the power of God go forth. Praise the Lord. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song will ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's amazing love for me. Notice it's his amazing work, it ain't yours. Praise the Lord for that. I couldn't obtain salvation. I couldn't obtain righteousness no matter what I did or what I tried to do. But it was him who went to the cross of Calvary. It was him who shed his precious blood. It was him who extended his grace and mercy. It is him who extended and defeated death and hell and rose from the grave. It is him that ascended unto the right hand of God the Father who rules and reigns. And it is him that will one day come back and get me. It's him that will one day transform me. It is him that is one day I will worship for eternity. It's his wonderful work. I'm just along for the ride. Praise him this morning, church. His fame spread abroad because of the astonishment of his word and the amazement of his works. And last but not least, and I'll invite the worship team back up at this time, the advancement of his witness. The advancement of his witness. Look at what it says. And they were all amazed. Now that kind of goes with the last passage, but it's in verse 27. Why were they amazed? Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what new thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Before Christ, folks, this didn't happen before. This was new. Go back and read in your Bible. There's no casting out of demons in the old. Before Christ, this is new. They've never seen this before. They've never seen this authority. They've never seen this power. He commanded the unclean, and they obey him. Can I tell you something real quick? We sometimes have this idea that we're in a universe where it's like a yin and a yang, right? And there's good and evil, and they're constantly in this battle. Folks, even the evil spirits have to obey Christ. Folks, listen to me. It's God in power and then everyone else. There is no yin and yang. There is no equal forces. It's God. And one day he will come and reclaim his kingdom. And one day he will rule and reign once again. Listen to me. They obey him. It says, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. Can I point something out to you this morning as to why his fame spread abroad? Why there was an advancement in his witness? It's because the people were talking. The people were talking. What they had just witnessed, what they had just heard, stirred them, made them uncomfortable. They're now wondering, what is going on? They are stunned. But can I tell you, in the midst of all of that, there's also excitement. There's also worship. There's also joy. You know, there's kind of that mixed bag going on, right? Oh my goodness, a demon just got cast out in the synagogue. And oh my goodness, what's going on? Oh my goodness. But there's also, praise the Lord, a man that was afflicted by an unclean spirit has been set free. Praise the Lord, the one that Scripture tells us about has come. The Messiah is here. And if he can cast out a demon from him, imagine what he can do for you. Imagine what he can do for me. There was a buzz within the house of God. They were amazed at his work accomplished through his authoritative words. You know why sometimes I believe you don't see the same fame of Jesus being spread abroad, at least in the American church today? Oh, trust me, you see it abroad. You go to Africa, go to the Philippines, go to Korea, church is on fire. Church is growing, multiplying. My goodness, but why not the church in America? Listen to me. Because oftentimes, well, not oftentimes, truly, there can be no advancement of witness in a dead, lifeless church. Things happened in that synagogue that day. The people didn't go there expecting it, but why did it happen? Because the word of God came forth. The word of God came forth. Can I tell you why you don't see much spiritual happenings within the church? Or can I tell you within the home? Why you don't see devils being driven out in the church or within the home? Why people are not uncomfortable with the sin that they're living in? Because in many churches today, there is no astonishing word that brings forth amazing work, because they've taken Christ out and they've taken his word out. And the church now just survives on the teaching of the scribes, man's opinions, man's intellect, man's own interpretation, rather than preaching the word of God and putting Jesus at the center, talking about sin, talking about the blood, talking about our need to die to self, talking about transformation of the heart and the mind, talking about good old-fashioned salvation, in which you have to understand that you're a sinner and that you're a wretch and that you're rotten, and the only thing that can change that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Instead, today, we live in a time and within a church that tries to tell you that you're okay. And there's many people that are going to hell in the church because they have the belief system of the demon. I know who Jesus is. I know who that guy is. But I've never bowed the knee to him. I've never asked him into my heart. I've never committed my life to him. But I've got the mental. Folks, that was me up until the age of 19, growing up in a fundamental independent Baptist church. I had all the head knowledge, never had the heart knowledge. And that's where you find in Matthew 7, when it says that people will go unto Christ and say, Lord, we did this in your name. Lord, we did that in your name. Lord, and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You believe in God? Good. Even the demons do. But there's something more. There's something more. Listen to me. His witness will advance when the church finally puts the word back where it's supposed to be, which is in the center, and proclaims it unapologetically in the midst of a culture that continues to go to hell in a handbasket. And when that word is determined, trust me, the astonishment of his work will come forward, because the Spirit of God will manifest amongst his people. Hearts will be softened. People will proclaim, and they'll see the Lord high and lifted up. But instead, we have a church that's having a form of godliness, as Timothy says, but denying the power thereof. You come across a church, and I hope that's not this church, that has a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Paul tells Timothy, from such turn away. Don't go anywhere near. I think so many things are dead. Go somewhere where you are astonished by his words and they change you. Go somewhere where you're amazed by his works and what he's doing. Go somewhere where the gospel is proclaimed and Jesus is exalted and you see people's lives changed. Ladies and gentlemen, those who encountered Christ immediately realized there was something different about him. With your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning, go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes. Look, they even said it in the text, this is not just another man. This is not just another teacher we're talking. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Have you believed his words today? I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Pastor, I know there's a Jesus. Okay. But have you come to the understanding that you're a sinner and he came to save you? And that he is the only one that can save you? Have you put your faith and your trust in him this morning? Have you let his Holy Spirit do a work in you? Sign you, seal you, deliver you. If you've never come to that point this morning, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without giving your life to Christ, without bowing the knee before the foot of the cross and putting your faith and trust in him and him alone. And Christian, listen to me. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can tell you when, where. I can tell you what took place. That's great. That means you've been changed by the Word of God. It means you've been redeemed by the work of God. How are you spreading his fame today? Because the fame got spread through the people who witnessed it. Well, my goodness, you're a first-hand account. You know what the Word of God says? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The witness of Christ's word and his work should be apparent throughout our community as Grace Church. And not because we advertise and not because we post on Facebook, but because of the stirring that comes out of the congregation. End with an old hymn that says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his mercy, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing like nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Father, we thank you so much for your word today.